Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Mark chapter 9, let's read the word of the Lord, reading from the New King James Version. If you're all ready, say aye. Okay, we do have notes. I believe they've been passed out, as is our custom. Let's read the word of the Lord, New King James, Mark 9, verse 14. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. They were what? Greatly amazed. And running to him, greeting him, he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one in the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, it foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Jesus, he answered them and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And he's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." I want you to read verse 23. And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." Three more verses. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to him, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Father, thank you for what you did in the first service and what you'll do in this service now. Move in an ever-increasing power as I preach your word that you stand over to see performed. I pray every man and woman and child would be brought low and you be glorified and magnified. May the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity. We thank you for it and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for God and give a big amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. This year is going to be a year of power and breakthrough. You say, "Well, Pastor, you say that every year." Yeah, because every year is a year of power and breakthrough if you purpose in your heart to obey God and live according to his word, live according to his plan, do things the way that he's asking you to do it. You will walk in power. If you are powerless in your life and you're bound, it's not God's fault. We had an amazing time when we were in the Hawaiian Islands, not just because of the sun and all of that. It really had nothing to do with that, although it was nice. 4 weeks of windstorms here in Alaska. It was nice to be in the trade winds instead of these winds. And I'm so glad that we made it through and the church is unscathed. There are many that lost roofs, and we've been praying for some, even a part of our congregation, that need God's help to put things back together, frozen pipes, and minus 20, 25 degrees at my house, minus 30 in someone else's house. I don't know how cold it's at your place, but it's cold. So it was nice We felt ministered to greatly being in the Hawaiian Islands, suffering for Jesus in Hawaii. While we were there, we stayed at a beautiful home, and it was about 10 minutes away from where our kids were. Now, Hannah, our daughter, our oldest daughter, she's 26 years old, got married a couple of years ago to man of God, Derek Johnson. They've had a baby. We're grandparents, and all the grandparents said, hallelujah. Somebody said, when you become a grandparent, something changes. I thought, well, I wonder what that's like. So we became grandparents, something changed. It's just, I don't know, it's like amazing. All I can think about is the generations and having a generational revival. And so looking at our empty house a few months ago, we saw where the tree was going to be, and we thought, oh no, no, we can't do that. So we took off and went to Hawaii. My son is also there. He's 22, and he's in ministry. He's over the youth ministry there, over the senior high ministry in Maui, where this church was planted from back in 1999. And my daughter and her husband are over the young adult ministry. And so we went and did church and did all the stuff that they were doing and ate a bunch of Christmas cookies and bonbons and celebrated the birth of our Savior. We'd get up every morning, and you think, well, did you go to the beach? We went once, but it wasn't about that. It was like, we get up in the morning, and it was like, let's quick hurry up and get to their house so we can see that granddaughter. It's amazing. We were blessed to drive around in a beautiful Tesla. Has anybody ever driven a Tesla? A Tesla Model X. Now, I don't know about you, but I like speed and I like power. And this is a dual motor Tesla X with the gull wings and all. It's just like an amazing car. It's electric. I miss the rumble of like glass packs and like a loud motor. Just, I get ministered to by loud motors, Harleys. Those things ministered to me in a very special way. It didn't have any of that, but the power, this thing would stick you in your seat. And it didn't make noise other than, and you'd be 60 miles an hour. It's amazing. So we got it. It had about 300 miles on the charge. And I'm like, I charged my phone. So how many of you ever have a hard time finding your charger cord? Yeah, it can be a hassle if you can't find a charger cord because then your phone's not going to work. Well, can you imagine not finding a charger cord for your Tesla or your electronic vehicle? So, you know, I get the app. I find the high power charging stations. And as it works out, we couldn't use the high power charging stations for a number of complex reasons. And so all we had was this little trickle charger, which gives you 3 miles, maybe four, every hour of charge. Well, it had 300 miles on it. I mean, awesome. You know, it was like plugged in for 6 weeks before I got to use it. It was fantastic. And it's not 300 miles because depending upon how you drive it. How many of you know if you have a gasoline or diesel motor, the more you step on it, you're going to have more wear and tear in your tires, and you're going to use more fuel. So I did that a lot. So what's 300 miles instantly become 200 within 25 miles. It was 200 left. And I'm thinking, where are we going to charge this thing? Well, we did a little trickle charge and did what we could, but we drove around a little bit. We're coming home one night, had 50 miles to go to get to my little trickle charger. And I only had 12 miles to drive. I drove it conservatively, so I thought, isn't that right, Pastor Karen? And I end up with 0 miles and 5 miles to go, and we're going to be left on the side of the road in this beautiful Tesla. Now has no power. But God was merciful and kind. He answered the prayers of Pastor Karen. And we made it. In preparation for this new year, as we are now just before the day of 21 days of prayer and fasting, I don't know if you understand that that can happen to you spiritually. You can run out of juice. You can run out of power. You can get to a place where you don't have the kind of unction. You're not walking in the kind of authority. You're not seeing things move forward like you had hoped, like you believed. Things can happen to our lives spiritually just like that on the screen and in your notes. Going to look at this text, give you some context, what's taking place here. The context of what just happened in Mark 9, 2 through 13 is a transfiguration. Jesus has just revealed his glory to Peter and John. So they were so impacted, if you read the Gospel of John and you read about Peter, it marked their lives, and it's in their writings later. It marked their life. Transfiguration. They get a glimpse of who Jesus really is. He's God. I want you to say Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And immediately after this encounter with Elijah and Moses, they come down the mountain. There's no break. It's immediately into the valley. And Mark is writing that intentionally to say that on the mountain there's transfiguration, but in the valley there's warfare. It's a beautiful picture of the duality of our walk with God. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, yes. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers, and in dark places. You're seated with Christ, but you're also here. There's three heavens. Everybody say there's three heavens. Three heavens. The first heaven is the one we're in. You can see it. The second heaven is a place where there's warfare. Angels, demons, strongholds, principalities is the second heaven. The third heaven, there's no war in the third heaven. The third heaven is the throne. That's where God is. So God places us in this earth in the first heavens, and he allows us to be translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light by believing on Jesus, by confessing our sin and believing that he died on a cross and he rose again from the grave by repentance. And we're translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light in a moment through faith. And yet we're here. So we're here, but he's in heaven, and so we're with him and he's in us. We are his house. We are his temple. The naos of God in 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the church being the temple of God, but you individually are his temple when you come to faith in Christ and repent of your sin. So it's this beautiful picture on the mountain, this revelation, and it's now down in the valley, this warfare. And he comes to a real problem. A father has brought his demonized son, and the disciples can't cast it out. And Jesus' response to the situation is frustration. He's irritated. Anybody else gotten irritated? Raise your hand if you've ever been irritated. Paul, being greatly annoyed in the book of Acts, turns and says to the Spirit, being greatly annoyed. So he's irritated. He's frustrated. And he expresses it in what he says. And he's talking to the crowd. He's talking to the religious leaders. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the father of the son. He says, "Oh, faithless or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you?" Anybody ever felt like that? I've felt like that today. Be like, "Oh, God, Jesus." Anybody else? How long shall I be with you? And Jesus takes control of the situation, which is great. He takes control of the situation. How many of you have some situations that you'd like Jesus to take control of? Yeah, he's going to do it if you'll let him. He's not bothered by the defiance of the demon, which is interesting. It's interesting that he's not bothered by that, and it's interesting that there is defiance. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the devil? Well, it's the same reason you're having a hard time moving forward in what God's called you to do. What are you talking about? We'll get there. Don't be bothered by a mountain that's not moving currently. Just learn how to move mountains. You have to learn how to move them. And Jesus shows compassion on the son. Says, inquiring, how long has he been like this? Which is a picture If you see the demon, would throw him in the fire. That's what the devil comes to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If there's death and killing involved, you can guarantee the devil's involved. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is John 10. I've come that you might have life, and life to the full, or life abundantly. So he inquires how long he cares about the boy. He cares about the father. He shows compassion, which is a verb. It's an action word. It doesn't just have sympathy. It actually does something about it. And it's a beautiful picture also, and a revelation for some, that devils don't just come upon adults. They can come upon children, even from their earliest age. And there can be generational bondages. Some of you have understand fully and have battled against that in your life and got set and free. Others of you might be having an eye-opening encounter right now. You can be demonized. You can. No, I'm saved. But you can be bound. And he has compassion on him. He sets the boy free, and he challenges the father to have faith. And I had you repeat that. The father says, if you can do anything. I mean, what kind of a question is that? But verse 22, but if you can do anything. Another version, Jesus says, if I can. It's like he's amazed. If I can. Like, what are you talking about? The emphasis is, I'm God. How many of you believe God can do anything? Well, look what Jesus says. Jesus says to him, what does he say? Well, if you can believe. Oh, I hate that. Why do you hate that? Because it puts personal responsibility on me. I just want Pastor Karen to clean the whole house and do everything. I don't want to do any of that. That's not how that works. I'm not sure if I talked about my dog baptizing our house on Christmas Eve in this service or it was last, but there's certain things that my wife's not going to do. And it's because that's why. There's certain things I am anointed to do in the house. Taking out the trash, cleaning up a proliferation of a dog mess on New Year's. Was it Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. Was it both? Jesus, help me. If anybody's looking for a dog, you can come and talk to Pastor Karen. If you can do anything, if you can do anything, listen to that question. If you can do anything, so many people are not going to move in power this year, not going to move in breakthrough because their faith has been limited. They got a cap on it, and they're just resting on God's sovereignty, God's good. Come on, someone say, God's good. God's good. Yes, and he'll sovereignly move in your life in beautiful ways, but other things will not happen unless you believe. And the word is pistis. It's faith. What's God going to do in the school? It's going to go well over hundreds and hundreds of people. Could end up 1,000 students. We'll have another building because this one doesn't fit. And God is going to pay for the whole thing. And he's going to bring a great outpouring. Come on, somebody say amen. This building will be paid off. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. I had you speak to your mountain. Give me my mountain. Yeah. And you got to back that up with action. Faith is acting on God's word. So he's in this situation. He's having compassion. The father's response, he cries. He cries in brokenness. You know, I don't care for brokenness, but I sure love what it does for me. It is an unbiblical thing to lose. When you are firmly seated in Christ and you're obeying his word, you will find obstacles and you will find problems and you'll even perhaps be hindered by demonic power. But the name of Jesus and faith in his word and prayer and fasting changes things. He shares his disciples when he comes into the house that this kind does not come out by prayer and fasting. So God's speaking to us here today. Understand that Jesus gave authority to his disciples, and you see in Mark 6, you see in Luke 9 and Luke 10, he gave them authority to go cast out devils and heal the sick. He sends them out with authority. He doesn't send them out with lint. They don't go out and they beg and they plead. They go out with authority. They go out with power. And when they come back in the book of Luke, it says that Jesus greatly rejoiced. And they come back, and it's just this amazing picture of celebration. They come back and they're like, Jesus, Jesus, even devils were subject to us in your name. Oh, and that one guy, you remember that one guy? When he came, he was like, ah, and we were like, and ah, and then he got set free. Oh, I mean, it's like this stories they would tell. Oh, and that one guy. Oh, and his daughter. Oh, and do you remember when you raised the dead? Raise the dead, Jesus, raise the dead. I mean, they're telling all these stories. I'm filling it in a little bit. Because understand, when they come back, they're like, it's crazy. And Jesus rejoiced, and then he says this. Don't rejoice because demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in your identity. So they had power, they had authority. So what's the problem here in the text? Why couldn't they cast out the devil here in Mark 9? They did it before. They did it throughout the Gospels. There's a clue here. Matthew 17 tells the same story, a little bit different, verse 20. Because of their little faith, of their unbelief, faith. And then in Mark 9, which we read, this kind come out only by prayer and fasting. This kind. What kind of food are we having tonight for dinner? Prime rib, asparagus with some hollandaise sauce. What kind of asparagus? I don't know. I think it came from wherever it came from. Where'd the beef come from? It's Alaska beef. What kind? What kind of beef? Alaska beef. Grass-fed, grain-finished. Someone give them praise. What kind? This kind. By the Lord using that, he begins to define that there are different kinds of devils, different kinds of demons. There are different kinds. Some kinds are stronger than others. So apparently, in the casting out of devils and healing the sick, there are some that are more entrenched, some that are more difficult. There are some mountains that are bigger than other mountains. This kind. And if you're going to move a bigger mountain, it's going to require greater faith. And it's going to require greater spiritual authority. Some strongholds, as I said, are stronger or bigger than others. And it requires sustained spiritual authority standing on God's word. I talked to you about the dog already that wouldn't sit down. Did I tell you that? Yeah. The dog was not going to sit unless I made it sit. There are certain things you must make happen. You decree it. You say, well, it didn't move yet. Then you're not done resisting yet. You're not done commanding yet. You're not done doing what God called you to do yet. Well, how come it didn't break yet? I don't know. But fasting and prayer brings a breakthrough that nothing else can. Prayer and fasting is one of the main keys, and we're going to give you, I think, three others in the course of the next week of how to have a year of power and breakthrough. Raise your hand if you want to have a year of power and breakthrough. Oh, God, this year will be a year of power and breakthrough. Now, as we fast and pray, I seek the Lord for a word from him specifically for this extension. Dr. Morocco will preach a message over the whole church worldwide. But I'm not saying that this is the word. It could very well be, but this is the word of the Lord for certainly what every one of us need. We need a year of power and breakthrough. Don't presume on God. I want you to say that. Don't presume on God. It's one of the things I got out of this. You got to be diligent in your responsibility to have a close relationship with the Lord. Spiritual authority is not automatic. You know, sometimes in our walk with God, we can miss out and stop plugging in the way that he wants us to. Yeah, I was studying this and I was thinking about how I can be a better husband. It's coming to tell you what I did. My wife doesn't know yet. I'm going to tell you what I did and maybe I can get some points just in case she doesn't realize it. But I've discovered for all the years, she would steal the covers. I'm going over here. All the years, Mayor Edna, she steals the covers. She snatches them. And we've had ongoing discussion. No, you're the one who steals the covers. So I'm like, no. You are the one. And so we've had this ongoing thing and like, okay, whatever. And so I learned to do some movements at the gym, just some side twisting. So you just need to, and I can snatch those things back. I got that going. I got it. I got some skills, cover snatching skills. But something happened the past week. The past week, I realized that I'm the one. I am the cover snatcher. It was like a revelation. I thought all these years, we've been married for 28 years. She stole the covers for 28 years, but it's not her. I realize it's me. She'd been trying to convince me with all kinds of proofs and convincing arguments that totally made no sense. Yeah, that didn't make any sense. Or, look, all the covers are on your side. I'm like, yeah, that's because I pulled them back from when you stole them. Look at the covers over on the floor on your side. You're the one. I said, no, that's after I took it from you. You took it first. And then over the past week, I realized I have this way of turning in bed that takes the covers. She never turns. She just sits there. And then she preaches in her sleep too. You know your wife's sanctified when she preaches and counsels. I've tried to talk to her, but when she's doing it, it just brings her out of her sleep. So I just listen now and see if I can gain understanding about the cosmos and the end of the age. And she'll be sleeping and she'll be like, yes, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord said that. And then sometimes it's mumbling. I want to record it and see if I could like slow it down maybe. I realized that I'm the one. So last night, you didn't get any covers taken from you. Oh, don't even look at me like that. You know, that's right. Absolutely right. I know I'm right. I'm right because every time I turned over, the Lord brought an awareness to me. He said, you're the one. I found out a few days ago. And that I thought, when I started turning over, I instantly kind of wake up and be like, lift the covers just a little bit, not enough to waft in cold air, which she hates. And I would turn, and she stayed covered all night. So what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Let's get on to the next point. I love my wife. And I want to be a better husband. Now, let me just ask you, in your walk with God, are you pulling the covers? Are you doing things that are hindering? Are you doing things that are hindering your and causing your relationship with God to become colder? What are you doing that's perhaps not what you used to do? The scriptures talk about returning to our first love. There's keys this year of having power and breakthrough. One of those keys is intimacy with God. And it's drawing close to him and being mindful of the things that move him. And we can be presumptuous and not diligent on our responsibility. I was presuming for 28 years, whatever, that she was the cover snatcher, but then realized it's me. What kind of spirit? Some of you are going through things because you, not even the devil. Pentecostals are just known for like us, the devil. The devil. Somebody said, you believe that there's a devil behind every bush? No, there's 20. There can be presuming on God it's not good. Spiritual authority is not automatic. It flows from a cultivated, ongoing relationship. Now that my wife knows that I'm not snatching the covers, she feels somewhat greater love for me than I cared for her enough, even though she just found out. When you begin to cultivate a relationship with God, with anybody, you cultivate a relationship with anybody, you get closer. You spend time with people, you get closer. When you spend time with God, you get closer. And prayer and fasting helps you with that. First key to power and breakthrough 2026 is faith, released through prayer and fasting. It's true in the Old Testament, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New. You see Hezekiah fasted and prayed, and God released an angel that destroyed 185,000 men in one night. One angel, not a band of angels, one. Wiped out the enemy. You see over and over different ones that fasted and prayed. Jehoshaphat, even Ahab, married to Jezebel. This guy was a loser, idolater. He even fasted and prayed, and God gave him mercy. Jehoshaphat, Daniel is a favorite one of mine. Daniel chapter 10 says that Daniel set his heart to gain understanding and fasted and prayed for 21 days. For three full weeks, he says, to gain understanding. When the angel comes in Daniel 10, and I would encourage you all to read Daniel 10 with your family. When the angel comes, he says to Daniel, your words were heard from the first day you set your heart to gain understanding. I've come because of your words. But I was hindered by the prince of Persia. Now, if one angel in Hezekiah's day could wipe out 185,000 men, or 180, I forget which it is. 185, thank you. One angel. Then how many of you know the prince of Persia is not some dude? By the way, the prince of Persia has taken a mighty blow. And that's why you see manifested even in Iran as we're speaking. There's a revival that's breaking out in Iran. The underground church, I think, has done such a prayer job and intercession and fasting. There's been a breakout of God's power. There are many that are singing and worshiping in the streets, even in Venezuela. Something's happening around the world. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh, God, help me to pray and fast. Oh, help me to pray and fast. So Daniel gets insight from this angel and says, from the first day you set your heart to gain understanding, your words were heard. So is it possible that the enemy can hinder your walk with God? Well, he'll try. He certainly did it to the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Thessalonians, I wanted to come to you again and again, but Satan hindered me. He'll try, but you have to learn to overcome, and that comes by faith. You have to muster the strength and the diligence of an intimate walk with God, I believe, through prayer and fasting and biblically, so that you move forward with power into 2026. Come on, it's going to be a year of power and breakthrough. A year of what? Power and breakthrough. Can you give them praise in the house of God? Yes, a year of power and breakthrough. So Old and New Testament. Now, there are some situations that demand increased prayer and fasting. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Eve was fooled because she ate from the tree. Is it possible that food can mess us up? Yeah, there is something about it. It's folding down your humanity. Now, I don't think you want to take that too far, but fasting means restricting yourself from food or drink so that you could pray. We start our annual 21-day fast tomorrow. Hallelujah. I've begun to back off and tune my heart. This church was saved by a 21-day fast, but specifically at a crucial moment, was saved by a 40-day water fast that somehow I was able to do. What do you mean, somehow? Well, my wife knows me better than anybody else. I know myself pretty well. I'm a disciplined man. I live for God. I love God, but I do not want to not eat. I like eating a lot. And there's certain things that just I realize in my life and in my walk with the Lord that He sovereignly allows for strength to come. And so this, when I say this church is saved by a 40-day fast, and we had just gotten here. And I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but it was very clear. You're going to do a 40-day water fast, son. I'm like, I don't want to. And then the Lord's response was, if you don't do it, you're going to suffer great loss. So you might be more spiritual than me. Great loss was not the whole congregation. Although, of course, that would be great loss, but great loss to me. And that 2006, 2007 year, great loss to me was you. That I would lose, that I would suffer great loss, that would be my wife and children, would be the greatest loss. And I thought, okay then, let's go. I mean, I just got supremely motivated because I've got a choice, suffer great loss or fast and pray for 40 days. And I knew I had heard from God. So I don't want to fast and pray for 40 days, but more so, I don't want to suffer great loss. So I was very motivated. I looked at a calendar, I prayed, I picked a date. By the grace of God, I started. And I did a water fast for 40 days. Oh, the glorious experience. Ooh, the glorious experiences I had with God. He would visit me in my office. I remember calling Dr. Morocco and said, Pastor Morocco, God called me to a 40-day water fast. But I don't know how I'm going to work and do all the different things I need to do. He said, do whatever God's telling you to do, Pastor Daniel. So you're pretty good for about 2 weeks. And then after you get into 3 weeks and 4 weeks, I start losing everything, forgetting everything, don't have much energy to walk around. It gets very demanding. The church lost 150 people in 1 week. After 3 weeks of a water fast, a bunch of different things happened without going into all the details. The devil just hit the church. We went from being about 250 to being maybe 100, 150 people. I remember one of our ushers had been gone on a trip. He came back. When he came back, we were 100 to 150 people were gone. And he said, Pastor, where are all the people? I said, they left. He said, but God's here. I said, yeah, God's here. And we saw miracles, breakthrough, freedom, outpouring. On the last day of the fast, 40th day, very strong visitation of the Lord. And he spoke to me and said, son, remember that everything that's about to happen is because you prayed and you fasted. Do you know that we are still riding that wave from 19 years ago? Well, we continue to pray. We continue to fast. I've never done another 40-day fast, and I don't desire to do another one, but if you want me to, I will obey. But I don't want to. Maybe you can get somebody else to do it. Whatever. Jesus. I get terrified even mentioning it, that he would say yes. And I'm sort of feeling my spirit almost that he wants me to. So I'll pray about that. Prayer and fasting moves the mountain. I'm telling you, it's an atom bomb from heaven. Don't make major decisions without praying and fasting. Don't marry somebody that you haven't prayed and fasted about. Don't move if you haven't prayed and fasted. If you do, you're dumb. Can I say dumb, Pastor Karen? Not very intelligent, because there's things, and you just, oh, I have peace. That's not enough. Having peace is not enough. What do you mean? You need a word from the Lord. You need to know that he spoke to you to do that thing so that you invest your whole life. And yes, peace is an aspect of it. And don't ever do anything without having agreement with your spouse. And if you're a single person, get wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Prayer and fasting will move the mountain. There is nothing that can stop the move of God except you. You can. Yield to the devil, yield to his plan. There are some situations that demand increased prayer and fasting. And so I join you, invite you, put this on the screen, please, that QR code. I invite you to come. And if you will go ahead and fill out this QR code thing, that they'll get it up there. I will put the letter together on what the things we're praying for, because you got to get an agreement. What are you praying and believing God for? What are you contending? What are you believing for? What is the mountain you want moved? I had a lady contact me this past week. We were in a time of prayer and fasting, and I was guest speaking at another church, and I was at the church, to just give you the backstory. And the pastor of the church gets on his phone. He says, I understand. Listen, I have a friend here, and God uses him in miraculous ways. I'm going to have him pray for you. Can you hold on? So I heard that. I'm like, who's his friend? He covers his phone and says, hey, can you pray for this lady? Her daughter's going to die. She's in the hospital. There's no hope except God. I believe God's going to use you right now. I said, let me have the phone. Handed me the phone. When he handed me the phone, it was like I grabbed two ends of a battery. It's like I grabbed something. He handed me the phone. I began to pray, and I paced back and forth. And all of a sudden, the prayer shifted, and there was a dimension of supernatural power that I felt and sensed. They were weeping on the other end of the phone. I said, in Jesus' name, amen. They said amen, and they hung up. A year later, I'm at a revival meeting in Pennsylvania, and this lady walks up to me with her obvious daughter. They look like two twins. Said, do you know who we are? I said, no. Said, about a year ago, you were over at so-and-so's church and you prayed for us. This is my daughter. She was like in a coma. There was no hope for her. She was going to die. But look at her now. And the girl is like, God healed me. God healed me from that day when you prayed. God healed me. I'm telling you, it was a result, yes, of faith. But prayer and fasting will move that problem, will move that obstacle, will cause that mountain to be cast into the sea. Can you say amen? What are you facing right now? And let me ask you, are you willing to do what is required to see power released? I had a man come who's working on my house years ago. He'd been married for 30 years. He'd been a Christian for 40 years. He was a contractor. And he says, you're a pastor. I said, yes. He said, can I ask wisdom from you? I said, yes. He said, okay, here's the situation. He tells me this whole long, sad story about his marriage and all the counsel and all the things that they did to try to fix it. I mean, he told me everything. And I asked some probing questions and got answers and, you know, did what pastors do. And just trying to look for where he might need some healing and different things. And honestly, I couldn't give him any more wisdom than he already had. He already had it. He had got some great counseling, got some great wisdom. He was doing the word. And so I said, well, the only thing I see is that you need to fast and pray. He said, what's that? I said, what? What's that? He had gone to a church that never taught about fasting and prayer. He said, I heard of that. What is that? And I was like, oh my gosh. Some of you have never fasted and prayed. It's fasting and prayer. If you'll do it. Oh, you're not hearing me. Like, it's the greatest adventure you could ever go on. Is prayer and fasting. It'll change you. It'll change your circumstances. Will set you free. You'll be delivered. Praying and fasting. Doesn't matter how old you are. It's more than fasting TV and video games. But you can get a plan from God on what to pray and fast for. And so I invite you. Go ahead, sign up for that. I'll have a letter out by the grace of God next week of what we're praying and fasting for. Going to continue in a second message on the series of keys of how to have a year of power and breakthrough. Do you ever wonder why some people just seem to be elevated, seem to have more favor, seem to just go further, seem to just be able to overcome and other people don't? You know, God is not a man that he should lie, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you will diligently seek him, some people don't diligently seek God. You're like, oh, my marriage is done, or my finances are done. Is it? Have you done everything? Talking to Dr. Morocco years ago when I wanted to quit. Anybody else want to quit? I wasn't going to quit, but I felt like everyone hates me. What in God's name am I doing? So I call my pastor. It's a good time to call your pastor. Call on the Lord first. Call on your pastor. It's good. Everyone needs a pastor. So I told him, everybody hates me. It's cold. He said, Daniel, come on. I said, oh, Pastor Morocco, I don't know. Here's what I said. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'll never forget what he said. What do you mean you don't know? I mean, he totally rebuked me. What do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? I was like, he said, now, Pastor Daniel, have you resisted to the point of shedding blood? I'm like, no, I have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. He says, good, good. Okay. Have you, what was the other thing he said? Has anybody tried to burn you at the stake? I'm like, no. He's like, you're going to make it. Let me pray for you. He prayed for me. God touched me. Guess what? Still here. This kind come out only by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. What is kind? What kind? The breakthrough you need, only God can really bring you. You need to know. You need to know what God's saying. You need to know whether he's saying move, whether he's saying stay, whether he's saying it's buy, whether he says to sell. You need to know the way that he's leading you. And I'll just tell you, he'll lead you. I would highly advise you go to the church that God called you to. He's like, well, we're just here. We're not sure. I'm glad you're here. Keep coming. If you're offended, come at least 3 or 4 more times. It's a pretty intense message. Yeah, I'm calling you. You want to learn how to take out giants? You want to learn how to do the impossible? Because with God, all things are possible. With man, it's not. Want to learn how? Stick around. Because you're sitting in it. And we're not perfect. If you ever find the perfect church, don't go. That's what soon-to-be Minister Nathan told me. Don't find the perfect church. You find the perfect church, don't go, because you'll ruin it. Churches are made of people, so they always have issues. They always have challenges.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.